Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and I'm so excited to be joining you this evening from bright and sunny El Paso, Texas. I'm away on a business trip, but God is so faithful that I'm still able to broadcast from anywhere in the United States. So thanks. Shout out to blogtalkradio.com for that ability. I want to welcome you again. I want to talk all about marriage this evening and how to do things according to the Word of God, despite whatever challenges that you may be going through tonight, despite situations that you may be going through in your marriage. Maybe you're having trouble financially. Maybe you're having trouble with your children. Maybe you're having trouble as to how you're going to handle things with your extended family. I want to encourage you tonight and let you know that God is still able. God is still able to restore your marriage. God is able to fix whatever situations that may be negative in your life and turn it around and make it a positive. It's always something that we can learn and always something that we can learn and do better and still bring the glory to God. So I thank him for that opportunity tonight to be able to talk to you and share with you some things that can help you along with your marriage. With that being said, tonight is our special episode that we do every fourth Friday, the Life Lesson Series, something we have a man and a woman of God, a couple usually that are wise in the Lord, that are wise in the Lord, to share some concepts that we need to know as husbands, as wives, something critical that everybody needs to know so that we can really bring glory to God in everything we do, especially in our marriages. I want to welcome tonight my special guest that I have on the telephone, Pastors Richard and Darlene Blakely. Top of the afternoon, Pastors.
Good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. I can't complain. It's 75 degrees here.
You're doing better than we are.
Exactly. I cannot complain. I'm so excited that you guys are on the show again to share with us whatever the Lord has placed on your heart concerning marriages. I'm glad that you guys are back tonight.
Oh, we're so glad to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us here again. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, glad to be here. Yes. Well, Pastors, how about you tell us a little bit about you guys, about your ministry, how long you've been married, anything that you want to share a little bit about you.
Well, we are, again, Pastors Richard and Darlene Blakely of the Act of Random Kindness Christian Center. We're located at 60 324 Crittenden Street in Philadelphia, actually operating out of the A.B. Day Elementary School. And we have been in ministry together now for 20 years. And God has just done miraculous things in our marriage and in our ability to be a help and a blessing to other people. Just showing people what God has done for us is really the bottom line. And, you know, as we have read the Word and studied the Word together, and we have our own trials and tribulations, God has been faithful to us, and he has shown us how to be faithful to him. And we just share what God has done, and it's been a tremendous blessing to our marriage ever since. So we just thank God for the Word of God and for the instruction on how to live marriage and how to live in a way that is pleasing in him, because we don't have all the answers, but we do know that these 66 books of the Bible have all the answers that we need. So we just thank God for the opportunity to freely receive and to freely give.
Amen. And thank God for those answers. Man, what would we do without them? What would we do if God did not leave his word behind so that we could overcome so many of those different things that we face in life? We'd be lost. We'd be lost without them. Lost without them. Well, with that being said, Pastors, I know your topic for tonight, you guys mentioned, was what's love got to do with it? When I heard that, I was taken aback, but you know what reminded me of, I hate to say it, it really did remind me of the Tina Turner song. It really did remind me of that. So I want to hear a little bit about what the Lord has placed on your heart with as far as what's love got to do, because we know that truly we as Christians should be trying to show the love of Christ in everything we do. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it on over to you, Pastors, to really share whatever the Lord has placed on your heart this evening.
Oh, absolutely. Well, again, we give glory and honor to God for just being here tonight and being able to expound on his word to all the listening audience throughout the country. And we just want to thank God for this opportunity to possibly be of some help to someone. When we thought about the topic, what's love got to do with it, and we have to admit as well that the first thought came to mind was the 1980s song from Tina Turner. And when we look at that, she is really, you know, has really popularized a phrase that has lingered from then until now. And I think her intention wasn't at all what we intend to accomplish tonight, and that is to proclaim God's love not only for marriage but for all of his people, because God desires for us to have a happy marriage, a pleasant marriage, a peaceful marriage, in fact, a blissful marriage. And so what love has to do with it is basically everything, because God is love. And so when we look at what God intended in marriage and we have that topic in mind, we have to go to the scriptures, of course, because the scriptures are our foundation. It is our blueprint. It is the train track that the train rides on. And so I'm reminded of several scriptures that talk about what love has to do with it. And, of course, we have to go to the beginning in the book of Genesis, where it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, that man should cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now, when I look at that, that's a really clear indication of a special, particular relationship between the man and the woman, between the husband and the wife, because in no other relationship do you find in the scriptures other than God's relationship with the church, where he says that the two shall be twined. You know, it's kind of heavenly mathematics and how one plus one still equals one. And so when I look at that and I think of the topic, what love has to do with it, God has intended for the married couple to be in love, and they have to operate in love. They have to think in love. They have to speak in love. Everything that they do, they have to do with the other person in mind. And so love is the foundational word for any relationship, but especially a marital relationship. As you go through the scriptures, I'm a big advocate of proving scripture with scripture, because God is repetitive. What he has done in the past is what he will do now in the present and what he will do in the future. And so when I have my dilemmas, when I have my situations or circumstances, or in fact when I'm just puzzled about things in life, I tend to go to the Word of God to see how God interacted with other human beings that came before me, the body of Christ before me, the saints of old before me. And I'm brought to the story of Jacob. And Jacob, as you know, was in love with Laban's daughter. He was in love with Rachel. But Laban wanted him to marry Leah because Leah was the eldest, and he is keeping up with the tradition of the time. And so Jacob makes an agreement with Laban that he would have Rachel after 7 years of labor. And so when you look at that, you see in the scriptures that the two women are described so that those of us that are in this time could see exactly what Jacob had seen. The Bible says that Rachel was very fair and beautiful. But it says, only thing it says about Leah is that Leah had nice eyes. And so Jacob works 7 years, and he works day and night tirelessly to receive the hand of this woman, Rachel, whom he loved. And the scripture literally says, but it seemed but for a few days for the love that he had for her. And so in any marriage, in any relationship, love has to be the key. It's not getting married because there's a child, or you're getting married because it's the traditional thing to do, or you're getting married because you want to, you know, maintain your vessel. You know, all those things have their place, but God really intended for marriage to be in love. You got to love the person that you're with. You have to love spending time with them. You have to love, you know, the things that they do and the things that they say. And then, of course, there's going to be things there that, you know, you may disagree with. It may not have been your upbringing or background, but love casts out all fear. Love covers a multitude of sins, as the scripture says. And so your love for that person will help you to override all the things that are negative or unpleasant or unfruitful or just simply something that you may not want to deal with. And so when we see Jacob's example of how he loved Rachel so much that he worked 7 years for her, then after a while he had to work an additional 7 years because Laban had actually tricked him and gave him Leah instead of Rachel, whom he loved. But again, he loved her so much, he served an additional amount of time, spend the rest of his days with the woman that he loved. So love is a great factor. And I think a lot of times when we have our marital relationships, you know, we get caught up in the glitz and the glamour of the wedding, and we get caught up in the honeymoon. But then the reality comes in when we are now actually living under the same roof. And so we tend to a lot of times forget the reason why we fell in love with this person, the things that they did or said that drew us to them in the first place. You know, some time in marriage will allow that to happen if you're not careful. And so what we see in Jacob's example is that his love drove him. His love motivated him. His love kept him going for years and years and years until he achieved exactly what it was he wanted, to spend the rest of his life with the woman that he loved. And so love is the foundation and the core to any relationship. When you have love, then you can get through a lot of different things. When you have love, it helps you to overcome things. When you have love, it causes you to overlook the faults and see the need, to look over the faults and see the desire that that person may have. It is impossible for you to be in love without thinking of that person and to have them in mind. And so Jacob, I think, is a very good example of what God intended marriage to be. So the question again is, what's love got to do with it? Well, it has everything to do with it, because love will make you go outside of the mold. Love will make you do things that you didn't think you were able to do before, because you're not seeking your interest, you're seeking the interest of the person that you care about. Now, all throughout the scriptures, not just in Genesis, but we find also that God speaks about love in marriage. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, we're advised by the wisest man in the world, Solomon. And as you know, when Solomon was told to lead the children of Israel, Solomon asked for one thing in particular. He asked for wisdom, wisdom to lead God's people. And so God grants him wisdom far above all those that were before him, wherever would be after him. And this wise man literally says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 9 that we ought to live joyfully with the wife of our youth. And so that there tells me something about marriage. Marriage must be important to God because God is telling us to live joyfully. He's telling us to be within one flesh with the person that we're with. He's telling us how to live joyfully with that person that he has given us. And so it is obviously important for him. A bad marriage, a depressed marriage, a divisive marriage, a marriage full of baggage and hatred, that's not God's will. And so if we're living in a marriage like that, then right away we need to know that this is not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to us, so we have to know also that it is not pleasing to God. And if we desire it to be blissful, if we desire for it to be joyful, then certainly the Lord wants it to be joyful and blissful as well. And so I don't ever have anyone to take my word for it. That's why I like to show what the scripture has to say. So Ecclesiastes says that we should live joyfully with the wife of our youth. So that means that God wants us to be happy in our finance. He wants us to be happy in health. He wants us to be happy in our intimacy. Whatever it is that encompasses what we call our marriage, our home, our relationship, our family, God desires far greater than we do for us to live in joy and happiness and in peace. Now, of course, it's not just in the Old Testament that we find God speaking about this, but also, and one of my favorite scriptures about marriage, can be found in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, God tells us again how to interact with our significant other, with our loved one. He says to the men to love your wives as your own body. Now, aside from someone who is dealing with a, I would say, psychological problem, where they're so depressed that they simply don't want to go on, they don't want to live, aside from a person dealing with that, because that's a problem in and of itself, no one seeks their own hurt or harm. And so God uses this as a way to teach us, because, as you know, God uses parables. He tells us a natural story that has a spiritual meaning. So he equates this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, where he advises men to love their wives as their own bodies. So men, as you love yourself, you groom yourself, you take care of yourself, you make sure that you're not in any type of danger. When you see danger, you get away from it. These are the things that God says you ought to do towards your wife, to love her like you love yourself. You wouldn't want at any time for someone to curse you. You wouldn't want at any time for someone to put their hands on you and strike you and hurt you. You wouldn't want at any time for someone to take something from you that did not belong to them. So when you think about these things that you have in your relationship and the hardships and the trials and the tribulations and that she doesn't understand and she's not treating me right and all these other things that come across our mind, we got to realize that God tells us to love them just like we want to be loved. And so when we do that and we approach our marriage this way, when we look at our relationships this way, then we can see clearly what, one, God wants us to do, and two, how we ought to act. The biggest mistake that we make is that we make decisions when we're angry. We make decisions when we're upset. We strike out and lash at our spouse. We say things that we know intentionally will do them harm, will hurt them, and will hurt them for some time, because we're angry at the moment, we're disappointed at the moment, we're frustrated at the moment. But if we take a step back and just look at what God has said, that the measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. If that be true for the stranger, how I treat a stranger, I'm going to get it back again, how much more will it be also for our loved one, our spouse, our significant other, our wife or our husband? And so we got to take God literally at his word. His word is an instruction manual. It's not so much a religious book. He's telling us precisely how to live with our spouse. He's telling us precisely how to treat the spouse. He's telling us what will make the marriage continue to flourish and grow. And that, again, is love. So I think Tina Turner, in all her singing of her hurts and her pain, has clearly gotten this wrong. God desires that love be the foundation of any marriage, any relationship, any covenant partnership under the sun. And so now if we take Ephesians 5 and we apply that to our marriage today, we'll find that we'll have a spouse that is much more cooperative. We'll see a spouse that is much more compliant with what the Word of God says because they see you operating in the Word of God. And your family and your children as well will see that the Word of God is the true foundation of the home. personally, I think that the Word of God is the constitution of the home. It keeps everyone in line. It keeps everyone in their place. It shows them what they should and should not do. The wife may not always have the answer on how the husband should be, and vice versa. But the Word of God tells each member of the family what pleases God and what God considers to be a happy home. So many of our marital problems, many of our issues with our spouse can be answered and addressed in the Word of God. So a household that has the Word of God as a foundation can automatically have the success that they need in their marriage through the Word of God that's probably sitting right now on their living room table. So God is faithful, and God has shown us exactly what we need to do to make marriage successful. As we continue to look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 31, he again says that we should be one flesh. Now, Ephesians 5 directly goes back to Genesis chapter 2, where man should cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So God is here repeating himself. This indicates to me that this is very important. The way that I treat my spouse is the same way that I need to consider myself. If I am going to treat myself in such a way that will be acceptable, will be kind, will be pleasant and peaceful, then I got to think that I have to treat my wife the same way, and in fact, better. So Ephesians goes right along with Genesis, which goes right along with Ecclesiastes, that we should live joyfully in love with our spouse. Interestingly enough, I find that even in the back of the Bible, from Genesis down to Revelation, marriage is a focal point, a centerpiece in God's sight. After all, this is the first institution that he creates. He creates marriage. But we see also in the book of Revelation that he, in fact, compares marriage to his own relationship to his church. In Revelation 19, he says very plainly that the marriage supper of the Lamb is now come. And the bride, he says, has made herself ready. Well, we all know that as we've studied the scriptures from time to time and we've heard it preached over the pulpit, that the bride is in fact the body of Christ. And someday soon, in the near future, Jesus is going to receive his bride. And his bride, according to the scripture, has made herself ready, dressed in fine linen, clean, white, and pure. And so this is the only thing throughout all the scriptures, through 66 books of the Bible, that we see God comparing to his relationship with his own church, and that is the marriage. Now, we know that God is love, and if any man is in God, then the love of God has to be in him. So that love of God should automatically spread to your wife, and the wife's love should spread to the husband. Nothing should be able to come in between that, because the love of God covers all types of sin, all types of problems, all types of hurts and pains. We know from time to time, and as years pass, that we'll have them, but we do know that the love of God, as it is abundant in our lives, as God forgives us, as God cleanses us, as God pushes away our past, so we ought to do that with our spouse. So love is the key. Love is the foundation. And love is very simple to understand. What I would want to do, have done to me, that is what I should do towards my spouse. And when I do that, then I'm creating the relationship and the environment that God has intended. Many times we have problems in marriage because each person is seeking their own desire. They're seeking a fulfillment of their own purposes, things that they have planned since they were children, things that they have desired since they were young. And now that they are married to someone and they don't see quite what they imagined, they don't see what they envisioned or dreamed, they think that their marriage is a failure. They think it's doomed. I should just go out and remarry again. But what you have to understand is that God has made us individually to be what we are. And so we should appreciate, we should respect, we should love the person that we have married and love them for who they are. Again, love will cast out all fear. So you don't have to worry about the problems or the situations or the circumstances that could topple your marriage or bring it down. The love of God will wax strong in anything that you do, in anything that you go through. So as God loves his church and forgives it when it sins, forgives it when it does wrong, brings it back when it cries out to him, even so should we treat our wives and our husbands with that same kind of unfringed, unchanged, unaltered love. So what love has to do with it? It really has everything to do with it. Love must be the centerpiece and the focal point of every marriage and of every relationship in order for it to be successful. And that's my take on what's love got to do with it. It is clearly the foundational piece for all human interaction, but especially for the marriage relationship.
That is awesome, thanks, Briefly. I mean, you said, like I said, like you always do, it's a mouthful. I couldn't write it down fast enough. I couldn't write it down fast enough. But I do have I remember back you were mentioning Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, that we're supposed to live joyfully with the wife of our youth. And you mentioned how things will be a little bit easier when we're flowing, when we're showing the love of Christ to our spouses. Can you talk a little bit, because I don't want people to be under the perception that you're going to be happy all the time. Can you tell us a little bit of the difference between happy moments versus the joy of God that we have in our hearts?
Sure.
What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. Well, in any relationship and in any human interaction, you're going to have friction. I mean, think about it. You have a man and a woman coming from two different households, two different backgrounds, possibly two different belief systems. You have a person who is coming from a one-parent, one-child relationship, and then you have another that's coming from multiple children with two parents. And so any blending together of two people after all these years of being raised this way and seeing that this is the right way to you, now you're bringing that into one house. And so what you think is right and just and common sense might not be the same for your spouse at all. It doesn't mean that she's wrong or he's wrong. It just simply means you were raised in a different way. And so throughout your lives, you're coming together to create a new normal, a new form of raising children, a new form of paying bills, a new form of socializing and interacting with people outside of the relationship. And so you're bringing two different worlds to become one world. Now, anytime you bring two different things together into one place, there's going to be friction. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to have trouble. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. Jesus said, in fact, in this world you should have tribulation. But he also says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so when we look at the scripture and it talks about that we should live joyfully with the wife of our youth, it means that you should not have a sustained year after year, time after time of unhappiness and misery. That is not all God's will. You will have moments where there's disappointment. You may have moments that will be discouraging. And that is a time where the two of you should lift the other up. No one is going to defend you greater than your spouse. No one knows you better than your spouse.
Amen.
I can testify today and say that my mother doesn't know me as well as my wife does. And so even though my mother gave birth to me, even though she raised me, I've been an adult for quite some time. And now my wife has seen me in a variety of modes, circumstances, and situations. My mother, when she raised me, we had never experienced a death before. My wife has now seen me at the death of my grandmother. She's seen me deal with hurt and heartache. She's seen me sick in all kinds of ways. And so now she knows me better than anyone else on the face of the earth. And so there's a level of respect that is due to her because of that. So there's going to be difficult times, yes. But there should be an overall and overriding joy that takes place. And if there isn't, then that's where the needs, the circumstances, the problems need to be addressed. The worst thing to possibly do is to sweep it under a rug. You have to address the issue. You have to address the baggage on each other's part, because that has to come out. It's going to come out on its own, one way or another. It is better to manage it together as husband and wife so that you can continually maintain the joy that's in your life.
Amen. With that being said, because you flew right into my other question for you, where you were talking about if anything comes together, there's friction between the two. And you talked about the different mindsets that both of you as individuals are coming together trying to form that oneness. My other question for you is, what if as I'm coming with my different perceptions from those different types of households, I've never been shown love. There's never been any demonstration of love, don't really know what love is. I married my husband because, or my wife because, you know, they treated me kind. They made sure I had what I need. That's what love means to me. But now we're facing some adversity, and really that's the only way I know to show love. I got to make sure that, you know, the bills are paid and that I'm cooking dinner. I don't know how to demonstrate those different ways that to show that I love you. That's my limitations. That's my limit. And sometimes that's not enough for, you know, the other spouse. I think Gary Chapman talks about the different love languages. But what do you do? What do you do when you're faced with that situation where I'm not sure how to show my spouse that I love them?
That's a very good question. And what I've come to learn, because, you know, in my upbringing, I was very much introverted, very much to myself. And I didn't have the role models as an example in front of me. I didn't come from a home where there was a mother and father. And partially in my upbringing, I'm raised by my grandmother. My friends in the neighborhood, the children that I grew up with, we were all raised by either a single parent or by a grandparent. So to see a husband and a wife together, to see a man in the house raising his children with his wife, I didn't witness that until I was almost 18 years old. And so my wife, on the other hand, has the opposite experience. She's seen her parents together all her life. And so what helped me and what has brought me to a place of understanding things even faster is that we went on a lot of couple fellowships, and we did a lot of things with couples for marital counseling, marital training, just to edify the couples within the church itself, a marriage ministry. And what I began to see in that is to see other relationships, other upbringings, and it quickly educated me on the things that I had never seen growing up. See, it was a difference when my wife would say, well, this is how we did it in our house. I wouldn't take that as a piece of advice. To me, it was more like a threat, because now you're telling me that my upbringing wasn't quite right. And so you're saying that you're right, but you're telling me that I'm wrong. And that created some resentment there. But when I saw other couples that had similar backgrounds that she had and similar backgrounds that I had, then it began to give me a greater picture and a greater perspective of what marriage is. Now, again, we're not going to always agree on everything because, you know, there's some things that I think that are okay, whereas other times she thinks that it's not quite right. And so that's why we go back to what we had discussed earlier, that you're really blending your old way and her old way into a new way, which is your new house.
With the question, how do I love if I've never been taught, or if I don't know what that looks like? And I think Pastor Richard said it. I think with most couples, whether your marriage, you're having problems in your marriage, or, you know, things are going well, there's always room to grow and to learn. And so, you know, we certainly believe in, as you stated, going to workshops, you know, buying books or recommended books that will help you, and counseling, especially in those areas where, you know, where spouses, where couples may be having problems. What we find and what we had to learn is that we really didn't know that we didn't know. You know, we didn't know that we didn't know how to love one another the way that we should love one another. We went by what we learned. You know, what does love look like? Love looks like what you see when you grow up. And so now I have to find out that the love, what I thought was love, is really not what it is. And so now I have to try to deprogram myself and then kind of fill myself up with the new things I need to know. And certainly it takes Bible study, it takes prayer, you know, and it takes all those other things that Pastor Richard just spoke of. So it's a process. And that's the thing, that's where that eternally, that thing where, you know, once you what man has put together, what God has put together, don't let anyone put asunder. Because that's why marriage should be lifelong, because you're ever learning. You're going to ever need to learn and to ever need to learn how to love one another. And so that's where that process comes in.
Amen. Well, how about we take a break? And it's funny because I'm going to play Isaac Simpson and Divine Providence. Their song is called The Process. But when we come back, what I'd like for you to talk about, pastors, is some of those ways that we can show the love of Christ, like practical ways to show the love of Christ to our spouse. And my belief is that that truly starts with studying our spouse, getting to know them, communicating with them, knowing what they like, what they don't like. And I think sometimes as the years go along, we tend to take that, like you said, pastor, for granted. And we have to go through a process. We got to go back to school to figure out what it is that they want, what it is that they need, because we're growing constantly as individuals and also together as a couple, because the two become one, like you said. So when we come back, let's talk about that. So in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and play a song just to encourage those wives and those husbands that may be out there tonight, Isaac Simpson and Divine Providence, The Process. Enjoy.
Many times we go through life circumstances and we question God and ask Him why. I'm here to encourage you. Listen, I know you feel.
I know you feel that you can make it.
Listen to these words. I know you feel.
I know you feel like what to you?
The use of holding on.
I'm holding on to something
that feels so
that
far away.
Feels so far.
But let me remind
you
that He is here.
He cares.
And He cares. Don't give up.
Don't give up now. You've come too far to turn around.
Keep holding.
Keep holding on to what
God promised you.
And believe it is in His word.
It doesn't even matter where you've been.
No matter where you've been.
Or what you've done.
No matter.
He's already forgiven you. And He will restore you. Just hold your head up and be encouraged and go. Through the
process.
Come on, just start lifting your hands and praising Him right there. And look in the mirror. Right now, I know it may look bad right now, but God is restoring you right now. He's giving you back your joy. He's giving you back your peace. Don't give up now.
Never leave you.
He's a man of His word. Go through the doesn't even matter what
no
you've
matter
done.
Where
God said he is
no
a forgiving God. He's not a man that he shall lie, but he shall bring you out. Just stand still and go through the process. So don't give up on the young man that's out in the street. Hold on to your dreams. That marriage. That child. Your health.
Hold on.
Just go.
And go through the process.
Through the process.
Drink coffee, tea, or hot chocolate at least occasionally? How do you like your coffee? Black or with cream and sugar? Do you have a favorite brand of coffee? When was the last time your favorite brand sent you a check for drinking their coffee? For a free sample of Organo Gold, contact DND Wilson at dndwilson.biz with your name and address or visit www.dndwilson.biz. D&D Wilson Organo Gold are proud sponsors of Transparency in Christ Radio.
Are you and your husband growing apart and you don't know what to do? Have you tried to talk to your single friends, but they just can't relate? Are you looking for godly advice? Come and join Talisha Miller and the Wives Support Group, We Lift As We Climb, at Christian Talk Therapy on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 29 Bala Avenue, Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Or join us virtually. This is a true support group and everything is kept confidential. For more information, call 215-375-7879, extension 77, or visit www.christiantalktherapy.com. God is still in the business of healing you and restoring your marriage. Don't give up.
Welcome back to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and I'm so excited that you're joining us this evening for our Life Lessons episode with Pastors Richard and Darlene Blakely. We're talking about what's love got to do with it. What's love got to do with it? Our broadcast tonight is brought to you by D&D Wilson Organo Gold, the coffee that pays. Check them out at www.dndwilson.biz. Also, tonight, if you have any comments or questions for Pastor Darlene or Pastor Richard, give us a call. You can dial in at 602-753-1830. That number again is 602-753-1830. Or if you're checking us out on blogtalkradio.com, I have a chat window open, and you can type whatever comments or questions that you have on there. Just go to Blog Talk Radio, look up Transparency in Christ, and if you launch that window, you'll see it right there, our chat, where you can type any comments or questions that you have for the pastor. And with that being said, I want to welcome back Pastor Richard and Pastor Darlene Blakely tonight. Welcome back, Pastor.
Thank you so much. We're enjoying ourselves.
I'm so glad. I know where we left off at. We were talking about how love is the foundation for each and every relationship, marriage, our relationships with our family, with our friends. Those are love is the main thing. That's how we build on any relationship. I know before we left, we were talking about what if you never have had love demonstrated to you in your let's say growing up. Maybe you, in your adult life, not quite sure how to really demonstrate the love of Christ to your wife, to your husband. I was wondering, did you have any examples, any practical advice about how those spouses can love their husbands, love their wives?
Well, again, I have, and I can just speak for myself, because I didn't have the examples growing up, I tended to gravitate towards those that were married in the church. And it was just basically a lesson of observation, watching how they interact, watching how the man treats his wife. You know, does he open the door for her? Does he make a sacrifice if there is only one item in a restaurant left and they went to purchase it? Will he purchase it for her or will he purchase it for himself? Simple things like that were an example to me. It was key. And I began to take the pieces and put the building block together. Now, I know in church a lot of times you have marriages that seem great publicly, seem great on Sunday morning or Wednesday night Bible study, but in reality they're not so great. But I used them because they were the only new examples that I had. I watched the relationship between my pastor and his wife, and I listened to the children and how the children speak of their parents. And that gave me a lot of example of what should be. Much of it comes from the Word of God and some of the scriptures that we've shared tonight as an example of how we ought to live for Christ. Again, Ephesians is phenomenal with teaching on marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 really go into detail and spell out even the role of the children and what the children should do, what the husband should do, what the wife should do. And so looking at successful couples, so you got to surround yourself with people who are doing well what you're trying to do. You know, if you want to be successful in business, then you got to look at the people who are successful in business. These are the people you pal around with. You don't pal around with the people who have no business mind or have no desire to be an entrepreneur. And I think marriage is very similar to that. And so when we look at those that have successful marriages, those that have the longevity in marriage, those that have the respect and admiration of their children, these are our practical role models. Jesus said it this way when he talked about the church in relationship to the world. He says that we are living epistles read of men. And so as we are living epistles read of men, as we are open books to the world on a relationship between God and man, us too as married couples in the church need to also show that we are living epistles read of men. And so our marriages are on the examination table. Our relationship gets a report card. And it gets a report card from the people that are around us. They see us going through tragedy. They see us going through financial difficulty. They see us going through marital problems. And yet we still come out on top because we're following the script. And the script is the Word of God. Ephesians 5, as well as many other scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, all tell us what to do, how to do it, and why to do it in the Lord. And that why is clearly love. Because everything that we do, we operate in love. So I would recommend to any couple who doesn't have the background, doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the examples in their upbringing to look at these couples that are. We've met some couples that have been married longer than we've been alive. And it's been phenomenal to see a senior couple give each other a peck on the cheek or to hold hands at a dinner. It's just a miraculous, wonderful thing to see. You're not going to find these examples on television. You're not going to find them in the movie theater. You're not going to find them in the workplace many times because the world is promoting anything but godly marriage. But when we find those godly couples in our church, when we find those godly couples at Christian events and functions, and we just watch and observe, you just sit down and talk and ask questions. A lot of these couples are more than happy to share what God has done for them because God brought them through a mighty long way, and they're happy to share with others so that they don't make the same mistakes. I'm a big advocate of learning from others, even learning from their mistakes. Why should I make the mistake that you've already made 20 years ago when I can learn now from you and then move on? I'm going to make my own mistakes anyway. So I'd rather make just that than to make mine and the mistakes that you've made as well. So I would implore anyone who desires to have examples on how to interact with their spouse, how to have a joyful, happy marriage, how to run their home successfully with their children in respect and obedience to them, to look at the couples that are successful. Look at the ones who are actually doing it, whether it be a business model, whether it be a church model, it doesn't matter. To be successful in this, we got to look at those that are successful and glean from their experience.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny because we talked about perceptions, things that you come with. I come from a two-parent household, and it was six of us as children. And it's funny, when you go back and you think about things, I never remember my parents holding hands. I never remember my parents kissing, like in front of us. I never remember any of that. I remember my father, you know, practical things. I remember my father picking my mother up from work. She worked late hours, like to the wee hours in the morning. My dad would make sure he took her to work. He would make sure he picked her up from work. He would make sure, you know, things were okay in the household. I remember that. I remember practical examples. But I don't remember them truly being lovey-dovey in front of them. And as a result, when me and my husband, when we were dating, when we were in a relationship, my husband's lovey-dovey. So he would want to hold hands when we were out in the street. And I was like, no, we can't do that. We can't hold hands. You know, I'm like, no, no. So every time, and it still happens now. I try to be more conscious of it as far as holding hands because he likes to hold hands. So I hold his hand. A minute ago passed. That's the most I could do it. But I'll hold his hand, and he kind of said, okay, babe, I'm holding your hand, okay, I'm holding your hand. I'm like, okay. So we'll hold hands, so I have to remind myself, this is what he needs, so I'm going to hold his hand. So I'm like, okay, let me count a minute, okay, another 2 minutes. It's just a habit for whatever reason. Again, that's my perception. That's what happened to me growing up. I never saw it. I knew my parents loved one another, but not. I just never saw the demonstration of it as far as you know, physical needs. I never saw that.
But
so,
you know what, Felicia, something that you just said, and you were asking the question, so if you've never been taught it, what do you do? And I think you had said what the key is learning your spouse.
Amen.
Learning what he or she likes, dislikes, what pleases, what doesn't please them. And that this kind of ties into something else that we wanted to say, because we have to realize that love, something that's key about love is not self-satisfying. And
amen.
What I mean by that, this is a great example is what you just used. You didn't see your parents, as with me. My parents have been married 50-some years. They're, you know, still together. But they didn't do those things to me because they grew up in the era thinking that it was not proper to show certain things in front of your children. It was a cultural thing, right? So they don't mm-hmm. kiss, they don't hug. But loving to them was putting a roof over our head, putting food on our table, clothes on our backs, and making sure that they were there for us. And so
amen.
With you saying, my husband likes to hold hands. I don't like to, but I do it because I know it's something he likes. Well, that's because you're not self-satisfying yourself. You're trying to satisfy something that you know your spouse enjoys. And so that's key.
Amen.
Love is not self-satisfying. Jesus is our prime example. He exemplified love by not self-satisfying himself. He could have taken so many different routes, but he didn't self-satisfy himself because of the love that he had for us. And so when we think about love, we have to remember that it's not about self-satisfying us. It's about satisfying our spouse. But think about this. If you have two people who are working to satisfy one another without their own agendas in mind, what a wonderful relationship that ends up being. Because now the spouse is always saying, what can I do to please my wife? What can I do to please her? What can I do? What does she like? What does she need? What does she want? And then the wife is saying and thinking the same thing. And so you're never sitting down looking and thinking about what your spouse doesn't do or what, you know, the things that you don't see in your spouse and the things that you don't like about your spouse, but you're always thinking, what can I do to satisfy my spouse? So that's another key for love. It's not self-satisfying. The other thing that we wanted to talk about, you asked a question about, you know, give some examples about, you know, how about couples that you may know or, well, you know, again, the Bible speaks, there's a couple of things where it talks about, and people don't look at this, but if you look at the book in Hosea, where God told him to marry the harlot, right? God told him to marry and then go get her. Now, Hosea, what he had to do, because of the love that he had for God, he was obedient. But then he also had to learn to love his wife. And so I read somewhere where it said that oftentimes we think we get married because we're in love. But we really don't learn about love until after we get married. And so when we get married, we say, I'm marrying you because I love you. You know, I love the surface things that I know about you. But when we get married, I'm going to stay married because now I'm loving you in spite of all the things that I thought, you know, we were going to have. And so now, and so I read, the author said, love really doesn't happen until after you get married. Because you're demonstrating your love every day when you decide that you want to stay with your spouse. You're demonstrating your love every day when you say you want to work it out. You're demonstrating your love every day when you're looking past each other's faults and seeing each other's needs. That's when love really starts to kick in. Amen. You want to add to that? Something else we wanted to say, love should never be... you can only really build a good foundation when we talk about what does love have to do with it. The foundation of love is really built on the foundation of Christ. And if so, if we're speaking to the Christian marriage today, you can only really truly love when you really learn what how God expects you to love. So when you go in and you got to find all of those scriptures, what does God talk about? We say, the Bible says God is love. You know, and love helps us, it shapes the way that we feel about our spouse. And Pastor Richard had said something earlier when he talked about the book of Ephesians, when he says, husbands, love yourselves, love your wives as you love yourself. So the question that one would ask, well, what if I don't love myself? Then how do I love my wife? And I think you even alluded to that. So if I don't really know how to love myself, how can I really love my spouse? So now I got to learn how to love myself. I got to learn, I got to go back and now find those scriptures and meditate and pray and say, God, I need to learn how to love me because if I have to love my wife as I love myself, I need to love myself. So that's key. Amen. And I think the some of the issues we find in some marriages is that the individual really doesn't love him or herself. And so the difficulty comes in, then if I really don't love me? And so That's where you got to go into that individual, I need to now get that relationship with God. I need to help God. I need for God to help me to get rid of some of these weights that I'm carrying around. So, I mean, it could be anything. You know, it could be upbringing. It could be just so many things that have caused the individual to no longer like him or herself. So now when that individual begins to learn how, begins to understand the love of God that God has for him or her, and then they understand that and then they can release themselves from certain things that they've been carrying around, then it makes it easier for them to now love their spouse. So that is so key. A lot of relationships are not working because they don't individually love themselves. And again, not self-satisfying love, but the love of Christ.
Amen.
So now that I understand the love of Christ in my life, now I can also learn to love my wife. Because now I'm looking at my wife not through just my natural eyes. I'm looking at my spouse. I'm looking at my husband. I'm looking at my wife through the eyes of Christ. And that's true love right there. When you can look at your spouse through the eyes of Christ, now you're really loving.
Amen. You know, Pastor, I think you hit it on the nail when you said you truly can't love anyone else until, one, you've discovered the love of Christ and you love yourself. Like you said, and I think I don't want to say it's just our sisters. We have brothers as well that come with some hurts, some pains from previous relationships, as well as hurts and pains just from life in general. Maybe you've been hurt by, you know, a boyfriend, okay? Maybe he hit you, okay? So now you go into this relationship with this man who really is trying to demonstrate the love of Christ to you, and you come with these perceptions. You think every time he gets upset, he's going to hit me or he's trying to hurt me. So then you come up with a self-sabotaging, well, a marriage-sabotaging attitude, okay, because of those things that we come along with that baggage, like you said. But God is a deliverer, is he not? He's able to heal us. So for those that tonight, and I think that comes with as well the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he just puts a finger on some of those things that we know we need to work on. I think sometimes,
right.
like I think Esther mentioned it, we just dig it down. Sometimes, especially us as women, we tend to internalize things. So you're like, okay, I got to keep it moving. I got to keep it moving. This has to be done. I have to take care of the children. So we just take that hurt and dig it down.
Right.
We bury it over so that we can keep on going, keep on trucking. But like Pastor said, like you said, we have to deal with those things. So when the Holy Spirit points it out, we can't ignore it. We can't ignore it.
And
we can't ignore it.
No, you're absolutely right. When I think about myself personally, when you talk about bad relationships or hurt relationships, and, you know, I can personally say that I have been a recipient of that, you know, hurt relationships. And so when I came, when Pastor Richard and I got married, you know, he used to bring it to my attention, but I was so into trying to make sure that I didn't get hurt again that I really wasn't hearing that. And right there and then, that becomes a roadblock, you know. And I think, did you say something about the train tracks? I like that.
Yeah, the word of God is the track in which the train rides on.
Right. Yes, yeah, so I like that. So I wasn't riding on God's track at that point because, and although I knew the word of God, you know, I was saved, but still, you know, I was still carrying that. I had my precaution sign. I was wearing that internally. Like, I'm going to always look for these flags. So just in case, you know, one of these flags pop up, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready to deal with it or not deal with it. And all the time while I was doing that, I didn't realize that I was, you know, I'm really not loving this man because at this point, I want to make sure he loves me first. You know, I want to make sure he does the things that you know, my previous relationship doesn't do. So I was looking for those things. But in actuality, what I was doing is saying I had all of that stuff with me that I needed to get rid of because I really wasn't loving myself yet. I wasn't, because loving myself was enough to say I trust somebody else to give my love to and to let them love me. And so that ties all around that, what does love have to do with it? So, you know, love, you know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. And so, but what we have to do is we got to make sure that love covers our multitudes as well. And then we're willing to say, if my spouse is not perfect, my love is going to cover all of that. And so, therefore, I'm not looking at the iniquities. I'm not looking at the fault. I'm looking at it, again, through the love of Christ. And so that's when we talk about love. Love is not just a feeling, because God is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. And that's the thing that I think we get mixed up with, too. Love is not a feeling. So because when I don't feel you anymore, then I don't love you anymore. But that's not what that's not what God's love is, and that's not what marriage was meant to be. And so, you know, we don't go into our marriage saying, I love you, but if I fall out of love with you tomorrow, then I don't want to be married to you anymore. But agape love says it's not just a feeling that I have towards you. It's in my mind. It's in my spirit. And so all that inclusion says, you know, okay, I'll take the feelings with it, but my spiritual man, everything else, my whole body, my whole being, my whole soul is loving you enough to say I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I love you so much, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And that means hanging on that cross and dying. And so that's what real love is, with even with marriage. We got to be willing. We have to love to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes. You have to add something. You was right. You have the wrong paper.
Cassie, are you still there?
Yes, we are.
I'm sorry. I thought he was going to say something, but I saw him writing on his paper.
Okay. Well, how about we do this? How about we take a break since we're talking about the love of Christ and how important it is for us to sit in his presence, for us to be obedient to his Holy Spirit, and the fact that we know he's able to change anything. How about we listen to an encouraging song by Juanita Bynum and Jonathan Butler, One Night with the King. Enjoy.
Sounds great.
Do you drink coffee, tea, or hot chocolate at least occasionally? How do you like your coffee, black or with cream and sugar? Do you have a favorite brand of coffee? When was the last time your favorite brand sent you a check for drinking their coffee? For a free sample of Organo Gold, contact D.N.D. Wilson at dndwilson.biz with your name and address, or visit www.dndwilson.biz. D.N.D. Wilson Organo Gold are proud sponsors of Transparency in Christ Radio.
Are you and your husband growing apart and you don't know what to do? Have you tried to talk to your single friends, but they just can't relate? Are you looking for godly advice? Come and join Talisha Miller and the Wives Support Group, We Lift As We Climb, at Christian Talk Therapy on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 29 Bala Avenue, Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Or join us virtually. This is a true support group and everything is kept confidential. For more information, call 215-375-7879, extension 77, or visit www.christiantalktherapy.com. God is still in the business of healing you and restoring your marriage. Don't give up.
Welcome back to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and I'm so excited that you're still with us this evening as we're talking about what's love got to do with it, with our special life lessons episode that we have every fourth Friday with a wise and godly couple to share with us some of those things that we need to master in our marriages to bring God glory. With that being said, if you have anything that you want to share with us, any questions or comments for pastors or me, dial in at 602-753-1830. And again, that number is 602-753-1830. Or if you check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com, you'll see a chat window open. Go to blogtalkradio.com, search on Transparency in Christ, and you can type in whatever questions or comments that you may have for pastors tonight. By all means, we welcome your comments and your questions. With that being said, I want to welcome back Pastor Darlene and Pastor Richard Blakely. Welcome back, pastors.
Thank you so much.
Can you hear us? So we left. I sure can. Okay. I know you left off, Pastor Darlene. You were talking about just the importance of us as wives, as husbands, first loving ourselves, discovering the love of Christ so that we can love ourselves, getting rid of some of those hurts and some of those pains, casting all of our cares and our burdens on God, and really striving to get that healing that we need, that deliverance that we need, so that truly we can love our spouses the way that the Lord would have us to love them. So I know that's where we left off. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share, Pastor Darlene, with?
What we wanted to talk about, you know, because we look at, before we close out tonight, one of the scriptures that I think is a good scripture for couples when you're thinking about love is to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, when it talks about what love is. Well, I'll give a couple of scriptures before we go to that. 1 John 4:8, where it talks about, you know, God is love. And then in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, it gives you a picture of what God is, what love is. And it starts off by saying that love is kind. And so key for spouses is that be kind. We have to be kind to your spouse. And then it says, love does not envy. Unfortunately, there are some relationships where the spouses are jealous of one another. And it's not, it does not boast. It's not proud. And so, Pastor, we're going to just kind of go back and forth with this. So those are the things you want to look at. You want to do verse 5, huh?
Well, as you look at 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, the love chapter, Again, God spells out the instruction for love. Look at it as the ingredients for a healthy relationship. Any relationship, business relationship, social relationship, your neighbors, your friends, colleagues and classmates, and more importantly, marriage. If we do these things, if these things are in our marital relationship, then it's a guarantee to be a success because God himself is love. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it starts off at verse 4 saying, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Here, charity suffers long, which means it deals with the things that annoy, the things that frustrate, because you're looking at the bigger picture, the greater goal. I'm reminded of a time when I was in service and how we had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to do our PT, our physical training, and how much I hated it, how much I didn't like it. It's not just the breaking up of the sleep, but just the running around and the calisthenics. But at the same time, I did it because I looked at the greater goal, the graduation, the opportunity to serve my country and to do things that I enjoy and to do it all around the world in the name of the United States. And so that propelled me to go through the smaller things that were difficult, that were annoying, that were inconvenient and out of the way. And so as we have long suffering, our love makes us long suffer. And the scripture says it's kind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't envy. It doesn't vaunt itself up against someone else. It's not puffed up. So you can't possibly puff yourself up against your spouse when you have love for that person because you're considering their feelings. Now you look at verse 5, it says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. I think verse 5 is really a testimony to every couple that we've ever counseled.
Yes.
Because in verse 5, we have heard time and time again all of these various things. We've heard how a person will seek their own over their spouse, that their will rule, their desire will come to pass above that other person. And it says here that love is not easily provoked. Time and time again, we have people in marriages that are easily provoked by an outside person. Someone said something, someone did something. The in-laws getting involved in a dispute. And because mom said this or dad said this or your sister or brother said that, then therefore you're going to go with it over your spouse's perspective and over their point of view. And so we see that love will make you not be easily provoked in that area. You won't take or fly off the handle. You won't do things that are going to be a retaliation against your spouse because your love is not easily provoked. It makes you patient. It makes you kind. It makes you a person who long suffers and endures until you can get to the bottom of the situation and work it out together in love. And then also in verse 5 it says, it thinketh no evil.
Yeah.
No one can plant a seed in your mind against your spouse when you have perfect love. Because perfect love won't allow you to think evil of your spouse. You automatically think the good, the positive, the thought that will be encouraging and a delight before you would believe anything negative about your spouse. No one could dare tell you anything that your spouse did or said or a place they were. You would immediately believe because you have love that thinketh no evil. And Kenny goes into verse 6 and he says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And so your marriage will rejoice in truthful things because it's bound and filled with love. Now, verse 7 is one of my favorites in this because it says, it beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, and it endureth all things. The death of any marriage is the lack of hope. When hope dies, that marriage is doomed because there's nothing to look forward to. There's no reason to stay. There's no reason to thrive for success. There's no reason to believe that things will ever change. And that is a telltale sign that there is trouble near. When you don't have the ability to bear all things, believe all things, and especially to hope in all things.
Yes.
If you have no hope, then it's not even possible for you to endure the things that you must endure. Jesus said in this life you should have tribulation. But again, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we have to understand that there will be testings and trials. There will be tribulations. There will be challenging events. But love will help you to endure, as the scripture says, all things. Not some things, not most things. Some of us have that attitude, I can take this, but I ain't taking that. I can endure this, but they better not bring this up into my house. But when we see that you have real love, the love that God has intended for a relationship, God says, not us, God says you will be able to endure all things. So your marriage can withstand anything if it has the love that God has designed in it.
Heard this guest speaker on last evening, and she said in 2014, think big, and big, B-I-G, believe in God. And so when you think about love, you believe in God. And if you believe in God, you believe that all things are possible. And when you believe in God, that's where God, you have your hope. And so we just want to encourage all the couples out there this evening that the love of God, love really does cover a multitude of sins. And the love of God, if you have the love of Christ in you, then you can have the love for your spouse. And so we just want to encourage you that, I know we're already, tomorrow is March the 1st, and we can't believe we're in the third month of this year. And so think big this year. Believe in God and believe that God's love through you for your spouse can bear all things, can hope for all things, and can endure all things. And that your marriage will be a marriage of peace, love, joy, long-suffering, all of those things that the 1 Corinthians go on to talk about. And so we just encourage you to think big this year, believe in God, and believe that the love of God will help your marriage. And then do those things that you need to do, because God's word is going to do what it should do. And then God is just encouraging, and he always tells us, my word is going to do what it needs to do, and now you need to do what you need to do. Love your spouse according to the word of God. And just see what the Lord is going to do in 2014 in your marriage.
Amen. That is awesome. Is there any other thoughts you wanted to leave them with, Pastor Richard?
Well, I think my wife just said a mouthful there and really covered all the areas. But I would just encourage people, the word is the answer. Any problem that you have, it's in the word. Every problem has a solution. Every puzzle has a solution. And it's just a matter of coming together as husband and wife, putting the marriage first, not your own will, not your own personal agenda, to find the solution to the problem. If God wanted us to be miserable in this, then, why would we even do it?
Right.
God desires for marriage to be happy. He desires for it to be joyful, to be blissful. And he's given us instruction on how to do it. All we have to do is read the script, obey the script, and apply the script. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. So let the word of God be the foundation of your home and the foundation of your marriage, and it'll solve any and every problem you'll ever face.
Amen. Pastor, do you mind praying for those tonight that may be struggling in their marriages tonight, that God will just bring them through?
Absolutely. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today because we thank you for who you are and what you have done. We know, Lord God, that the first institution that you created, Lord God, was the institution of marriage. And so, Lord God, we ask that the spirit, Lord God, that you had at the very beginning of creation, the mindset, Lord God, the plan, the perfect will that you have instilled upon all of us who have ventured into this institution called marriage. We ask now that we would have that same spirit, that same anointing, that same drive and determination, that same love and passion that you have put, Lord God, in the first couple. We ask that you would bless each and every couple, Lord God, today. Touch, Lord God, in the church and out of the church. Lord God, you said, Lord God, that marriage is blessed by you, and the bed is undefiled. We ask for your blessings, O God, of recovery, of deliverance, of miracles, and of breakthroughs in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Show forth your love and your mercy and your compassion in these marriages. Help them, Lord God, to get rid of their baggage and bring, Lord God, a new attitude, a new relationship, a rightness, Lord God, in their households in the name of Jesus. Let the angel of peace, Lord God, pass through every home, Lord God, every family, Lord God. Let the children know that they are safe and at peace, Lord God, that they are calm, Lord God, and all things are well. Let them, Lord God, fall into a routine of joy and happiness, Lord God, and peaceful blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that these men, Lord God, would be the heads of their home, the priests of their home, that they would, Lord God, follow your word, that they may, Lord God, treat their wives with love, kindness, with mercy, and with generosity, with compassion, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let this man see himself as you have, Lord God, designed, that, Lord God, he should love his wife even as himself. Bless these wives, Lord, even right now in the name of Jesus, to be, Lord God, a helpmeet indeed. Bless them, Lord God, to be their husband's greatest champion, Lord God, a supporter, Lord God, a person that they can go to in a time of trouble, those who will sing their praises, Lord God, and those who will stand in the gap on their behalf. God, we ask that you would bring unity in the family, unity in the marriage, and unity, Lord God, in the spirit. Let the world see what you truly intended, Lord God, in the countless examples of your people. We ask for your blessings even right now, and we count it as done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you guys for coming on again tonight. Looking forward to you being on in March for the last of your series, our life lessons with you guys. You truly have been a blessing to me. I've learned so much from you, as well as I'm sure those that are listening in live or via the archive. Just truly just awesome. Just awesome what the Lord is doing in your ministry, with what he's having you to share. God is just so faithful, just so faithful. Thank God for you guys tonight. I thank you so much for being obedient and coming on the show. So there's such a need. There's such a need for people to hear that they're able to really press on in their marriages and overcome with God's help. Pastor, do you want to let people know if they're looking for a church home, where you guys are at, what time is Bible study, what time is service?
Sure. First, we wanted to say again to Lisa, thank you for allowing us to come on. You know, we have been talking and promoting transparency in Christ. This is a great show, and we're just praying that the Lord will just continue to expand. And just think you're already broadcasting from a different state, so big things in 2014. Amen. We're praying for Europe. Hallelujah. So just we appreciate you, and just thank you. Thank you for doing what the Lord called you to do and being concerned about relationships. So, again, we are pastors, Richard and Darlene Blakely. We are pastors of the ARC Christian Center, which stands for Acts of Random Kindness. We're operating out of the AB Day School located at 6324 Crittenden Street. That's 6324 Crittenden Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our Sunday worship service is at 10 a.m., and we have Bible study on Wednesday evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next month. I just want to let our listeners know, next week we'll be on same bat channel on blogtalkradio.com. next week I have my brother in Christ, Mr. Donovan West. He'll be on talking about what a man wants and what a man needs. You don't want to miss it. Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to do something a little special. Second Fridays, I usually do our Real Talk with Real Women Who Love Jesus episode. This time we're going to do it live. We're going to do it live. We're going to do it out of my home. It's going to be an intimate setting. The first 10 women, if you'd like to come and be a part of that, we're going to have light there. And Reverend Renee Morrow is going to come and minister to those wives. She's going to let us know what the Lord has placed on her heart It's going to be really a night of healing, a night of deliverance. I'm praying that the Lord will heal those wives' hearts that may be hurting out there and give them the motivation and renew our spirit so that we can press on in our marriages and in our everyday lives. So if you'd like to come to that, again, that's on March 14th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at my home. Reach out to me. Send me an email at transparencyinchrist@gmail.com. And again, that's the word transparency, I-N, the word Christ, at gmail.com. Let me know. I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to do special that night. Looking forward to it. God is able. With that being said, I want to thank those that are listening in tonight via Blog Talk Radio, guest 2852 or guest 2890. Thank you so much for listening in tonight. You've truly been a blessing and encouragement to my heart that you're listening in. So I pray that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. And those that may be listening in via their smartphones, via the archive, God bless you. I pray the Lord will truly strengthen your marriage and encourage you to press on. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is able. God is able to strengthen you in your marriages. With that being said, Pastors Richard and Pastor Darlene, love you. Thank you so much for being on tonight again. Can't say it enough. They'll be on again. They'll be on again March 28th, for our Life Lessons episode, sharing what the Lord placed on their heart to share with you so that we can press on in our marriages. With that being said, God bless you again. Check us out next Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. God bless you.
You are Jesus, you're my strong tower, Jesus, my strength this hour, Jesus, you're my deliverer, yes, you are, Jesus, my hope and my future, Jesus, source and my shelter, Jesus, you're my Savior, keeper and mine.